Thank you for joining us today. I'm Pastor Kevin, the Associate Pastor of Plantation Community Church. Today, I want to talk to you on the topic of fear. Fear is something that we encounter in life, and fear is also something that we encounter in the Word of God. And as I was studying the topic of fear this week, as I came across what science says about it, what my experiences say about it, what your experiences say about it, and also what the Word of God says about it, one thing I learned about fear is that fear is like a roller coaster of emotions. And in fact, this morning's message is actually called The Roller Coaster of Fear. And I want you to think about the very first time you perhaps have ridden a roller coaster or any kind of ride. If you have a fear of roller coasters, this might ring very true with you. But I want you to think about the very first time that you've ridden a ride. This means that you don't know what this ride is going to do. You have no idea what it's going to do. But what we fear in roller coasters is that there's a fear of the unknown. You know, we don't know what the roller coaster is going to do. We didn't build it. So we have no idea what the ride's going to be like. We don't know if we're going to like it, if we're going to dislike it. Thinking of this, there's a time when you go onto this roller coaster that you have to wait in line. And sometimes that line can literally be up or down, but it gives us these spinning emotions. There's moments where even in fear, where we feel like we're in a dark place, or our fear can also make us feel alone and trapped, and so we just want to scream. There's moments of fear that we're going through where we can actually feel that we're losing our stomach. I don't know if you ever feared something so much where you felt like you can't even feel your stomach and you feel like you're just going to lose your stomach. So what's interesting about fear is that it's mentioned all throughout the Bible, and we see things all throughout the Bible, things like we should not be filled or full of fear. We see things that are saying that we should not be anxious or we should not worry, or we see things that God has not given us a spirit of fear. We see things like fear not, take heart. We're constantly encouraged by the Word of God to be strong and courageous. We're also even encouraged to even fear God. So this could be a roller coaster of emotions, even when you look through the Bible on what the Bible even says. And we're going to go through that today. But what are we supposed to do? You know, like we have things in the Bible that tells us do not fear, but then we are also told in the Bible to fear God. And sometimes it may seem like fears cripple us, fears can paralyze us, fears can even keep us stuck in one place. But we're going to see some profound truth found in the Word of God through experiences of biblical characters. And we're just going to dive into this morning. But the driving verse for this entire message is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that says this: "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but has given us a spirit of power and love and self-control." So God has not given us a spirit of fear, but yet so many believers live paralyzed in fear. And I know that we all have fears, but that does not mean it's okay to live by those fears. There are countless amounts of fears, and I don't know what your personal fears are. I don't know what your fears are, but you need to know that God did not give you a spirit of fear. You were created more than your fears. You were created for more than to fear the things of this world. You may have a fear of failure. This is a fear that you feel like you're just not going to amount to anything, or that you're going to be worthless in this life. You may have a fear of even being alone. You may have a fear of death. You might be fearing that you are going to die. You might have a fear of losing someone or somebody else dying that's close to you. You may have a fear of sickness. You may have a fear of snakes, spiders, roaches. You may have a fear of heights. You might have a fear of cars, planes, or you might even have a fear of small places. Whatever you may fear, you must know that God did not give you a spirit of fear. God gave you a spirit of power. He's given you a spirit of love. And God has given you a spirit of self-control. Now, I'll be the first person to tell you that this sounds easier than what it actually is. Many times, whenever I find myself full of fear, I notice two significant truths. When I find myself living in fear or being controlled by my fears, I understand and quickly know I'm fearing the situation for two reasons. The first reason is that I'm not trusting God. That's when I start fearing situations. And then I start fearing situations when I realize that I do not have control of the situation. And I think of this when you're flying an airplane. I do not like flying airplanes. I feel, my wife can attest to this, anytime I get on a plane, I feel like it's going to crash. Every single time I get on a plane, I fear that the plane is going down. And this is something I cannot control. I mean, I can control my fears, but I cannot control if the plane is going down or not, which is why I fear it. I'm not the pilot. I'm not the person working the engine. I'm not doing all that. But by faith, I'm getting on the plane, trusting the pilot. And it's just a fear that I battle with. So we have these fears that we go through when we're mostly losing control, or we don't have control of a situation or a circumstance. So today we're going to be looking at two roller coaster rides of fear. And the first roller coaster ride of fear is going to be the effects of fear. And then the second roller coaster ride is going to be the healthiest form of fear. And what you're going to see is that fear is just like that of a roller coaster. But the one roller coaster ride that we as believers should board on is the healthiest form of fear. And we're going to jump into that. But before we get there, I want to talk about the effects that fear has on us, because it causes us to do several things. And so the first ride is the effects of fear. And there's several effects that fear can have on us. Some can argue that there's good effects, and some can argue that there's bad effects. We're only going to be zeroing in today on the bad effects that fear has. The reasons why we fear is because ultimately we feel unsafe. And we're convinced that when we are unsafe, we're convinced that God doesn't know what he's doing anymore, and fear produces in our life because we feel like God is just distant and we need to take control and do something about it. It is when we do not have control of the situations is when we begin to be enslaved by our fears. When we're living in our fears, or when we have fears, we notice some remarkable effects that fear has on us. And the first one that we're going to look at this morning is that fear causes us to do irrational things. And what we're going to be doing is looking at the character of Gideon this morning. I think of the judge Gideon when I think of doing irrational things when we're living in fear. Gideon was one person who had great fear. And Gideon was living in a time where the Midianites, who were the enemies of God, were being so oppressive to the Israelites. The Israelites, since they were doing evil in the eyes of the Lord, were handed over to the Midianites. And due to their disobedience, they were not being obedient to God. So God said, you want to do this? Okay, I'm going to allow the Midianites to have a hand over you and to control you. Well, this caused the Israelites to find shelter. They ran from this. They didn't want this. So they ran from this. They hid from this. They were finding places to hide in the mountainside. They were looking into caves. And one day, an angel of the Lord came to a man named Gideon. And what we learn through Gideon is so much about our own personal fears. But we're going to pick up in this story in Judges chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. Would you read with me? The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak of Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Like I said, fear causes us to do irrational things. Here we see something very interesting taking place. It is what Gideon is doing. What is Gideon doing? As we just read, we're learning that Gideon is threshing wheat. The question is where? Where is Gideon threshing wheat? Gideon is threshing wheat in a wine press. A wine press is a device and a mechanism that is used to crush grapes and to get the juices from out of the grapes so that a person can use the juices when they're making an alcoholic beverage called wine. And here Gideon is in a wine press threshing wheat. Now, we just read this, and this you might think is okay. You might say, oh, well, this is common. You know, we do things in different contexts all the time. No, this is not okay. Fast cars, fast speed, just don't want to do it. You would say, well, I'm just going to take the back roads. I'm going to take the streets all the way up to Orlando. Now, if you do that, it's going to take you probably 7, 8, maybe 12 hours just to get from here to Orlando. So it's irrational because of your fears to do take the back streets because of this. But this is something that we do, even everything in our power to try and control the things that we can't control because we are in a comfort zone. We're at a more comfort speed to do that. And so that's why it will be irrational to not take the highway, to travel long distances. And so this is what fear does to us. It causes us to do irrational things. The second effect that fear has on us is it causes us to do some sinful things. I think of King David, who we can all say King David was a man who was fearless. I mean, this guy took down Goliath, like a giant of the Philistines. Like, this is a man of God's own heart, after God's own heart. How can you say that he's filled with fear? Well, we know that apparently David did have some fears. David had a lot of fears. And as I said, the point for this is that fear causes us to do sinful things. And you think of David. David was a man after God's own heart, but David clearly in his Psalms confessed that he's had fears. The Lord has delivered him from his fears, which is amazing. That's the point of fears, for the Lord to help us overcome it. But the fear I want to point at in David is after he had already done something very sinful. And we can relate to David because truthfully, when we do something sinful, we try to cover it up so that people don't realize what we've done. We live in fear, or fearing that people are going to discover what we've done wrong. So David had become king of Israel. He's been doing great in leading Israelites. This was about the springtime when all the kings would go to war. And one day David notices, as he is, getting out of bed or something in the evening, he knows this very beautiful woman. And what David does is he's like, that's a beautiful woman and I want to lay with her. It's not creepy at all. No, it's very creepy. David gets insight. He gets information. He knows that this woman is Bathsheba. He finds out all about this and he discovers that this woman is actually married to one of his soldiers, Uriah the Hittite. And so David then sends a man to bring her over so that he can be with her. And David then gets her pregnant. He commits a huge sin, as we all know, is of adultery. And David gets this woman pregnant. And David then makes his first attempt to clean up his mess. And we read about this encounter in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 6 to 11. And this is what we read. So David sent the word to Joab, send me Uriah the Hittite. Remember, this is after Bathsheba's pregnant. And now David is trying to get her husband to come, Uriah's husband to come. And so send me the Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent him to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked him how Joab was, how the soldiers were, and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. So Uriah left the palace, and a gift from the king was sent after him. But Uriah slept at the entrance to the palace with all his master's servants and did not go down to his house. When David was told Uriah did not go home, he asked him, haven't you just come from a distance? Why didn't you go home? Uriah said to David, the ark in Israel and Judah are staying in tents, and my master Joab and my lord's men are encamped in the open fields. How can I go to my house to eat and drink and lie with my wife? As surely as you live, I will not do such a thing. So David, we know, gets Bathsheba pregnant. Now he's trying to cover up his sin. And David tries to get Uriah to sleep with his own wife. But why is this important? Was because David was hoping that after he got Bathsheba pregnant, that Uriah would come and be with his own wife so that Uriah would think that he got Bathsheba pregnant so that David would be taken out of the equation. So if Uriah went home to be with his wife, then he would have that opportunity to be intimate with his wife. But David gets word that this did not happen. David is like, uh-oh, fear starts to build. And what happens is David then starts to do even more irrational things, more sinful things. And we read in verse 12 and 13 what happens next. Then David said to him, stay here one more day, and tomorrow I will send you back. So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. At David's invitation, he ate and drank with him, and David made him drunk. But in the evening, Uriah went out to sleep on his mat among his master's servants. He did not go home. So now David gets Uriah drunk and tries to make sure that David or Uriah goes to be with Bathsheba, his wife. Plan still does not work. David is starting to fear that he's going to be found out of what might happen in his situation because he got Uriah's wife pregnant. And so he starts to panic. What does David do? The most sinful thing that anybody can do. He gets the man killed. We read about this in verse 14 to verse 17. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. Can you imagine being sent with your death sentence in your hand, not knowing it's an envelope? In it, he wrote, "Put Uriah in the front line where the fighting is fiercest. Then withdraw from him so he will be struck down and die." So while Joab had the city under siege, he put Uriah at a place where he knew the strongest defenders were. When the men of the city came out and fought against Joab, some of the men in David's army fell. Moreover, Uriah the Hittite died. Now, David, because of his fear being found out, gets a man killed. David wanted to cover up his sin. That caused him to commit even more sins. And now we can argue also, I'm not saying that David was doing this all in fear. I'm not saying that David slept with Bathsheba because of fear. But I will say this, is that when you are in fear, it can cause your flesh to be weak. It can cause you to be more open and vulnerable to Satan's attacks. And our fears can ultimately cause us to doubt God and trust other things that have no saving power. Our fears can cause us and lead us to start trusting other things. Our fears can lead us to addictions that bring this temporary hope. So we have to be very careful when we're fearing things because our fears can lead us further away from God into a more sinful lifestyle than we ever imagined. The third effect I want to talk about this morning is that fear can corrupt our decision-making. Fear can corrupt our decision-making. As we see from both David and Gideon, just looking at their example, we're not going to really go into the story of them, but just looking at their examples, you can see clearly how our decision-making is corrupted when we're by fear. I want to look at back to Gideon, because Gideon, his short-term decision-making was affected, and David's long-term decisions were affected, but fears can cause you to overthink a decision, and fears can cause you also to put off on making a decision. If you know the story of Gideon well, you'll see how true this is. You'll see how Gideon was requesting from God a sign that he was being sent to go take over the hand of the Midianites. And so Gideon was requesting sign after sign after sign because he just didn't trust God. He kept on fearing that he was the weakest person of his clan, that he couldn't do this. So Gideon is requesting a sign so that God would make it known to him so he can start trusting. Well, this delayed a decision. This prolonged a decision to be made. And I encourage you to read that story in Judges chapter 6, verses 17 to 40. But honestly, we can all relate to this. We can all relate to when fears causes us to prolong on making a decision or to alter the way we think and make decisions. I can personally relate to this, and I'm just going to be honest and vulnerable right here to all you who are listening. One of my biggest fears is that I'm going to relive the year 2019. As most of you know, we lost our second child. Our second child passed away moments after he was born in the hospital. And this was the hardest and most darkest time that me and my wife had to walk through. Just so much pain, so much grief, so much hurt, and so much brokenness coming forth from that one incident. I would say that there's no pain that you can even describe when you lose one of your own children that you have given birth to. And it's very scary. And as you all know, my wife is blessed with another baby in the womb. And I'm going to be honest with all of you guys. Today, she's 27 weeks pregnant. My son, Cade, was born at 27 weeks, and he died moments after he was born. And so this knowing that my wife is now 27 weeks, it actually is scary. it's full of fear, and my wife has been pressing me to start getting the baby's room ready. And I put it off. I didn't want to do it. And she asked, why? Why are you putting this off? Why are you prolonging this decision? I finally told her my fear. I said, Hannah, my fear is that once I redo the baby's bedroom, once I redo and paint the walls the colors you want them painted, I fear that we're going to walk through a very dark time of 2020 and we're going to lose this child. Because after we had a baby shower for our son, Cade, the very next day or the few days after following, Cade passed away. And so my fear is that if we do something for this child's going to pass away. And it's with a lot of fear that I say that. And when I shared that with my wife, I noticed that my fear became very contagious to her. My wife said, you know, you're absolutely right. And this was like the most difficult time for me as a husband and as a parent to then realize that I just made my wife fear out of my own fears that she also might lose this child. And I realized that my fear is very contagious right now. And I don't know if you guys have been watching me or watching my videos or anything, but the wall behind me used to be dark blue. It used to be blue, and now it is gray, and the wall behind this camera is pink. I was going to preach in front of the pink wall, but it wouldn't be a nice picture. So what I did was I faced my fears, and like I said, this is something that we cannot control, and I cannot allow my fears to alter my decisions anymore, that we have to get ready for a child coming into this world no matter what's going to happen. And so I painted the walls. I don't know what you're fearing today. I don't know what your fears are, but don't allow your fears to alter your thinking or put off decisions that have to be made. Face your fears, do what you have to do, and know that the good Lord is going to be with you. We're going to dive into that. But one last effect that I want to mention before we enter onto our second ride of our roller coaster is that fear prevents us from also doing God's will. Fear prevents us from doing God's will. What is true of all of us is that God has called us to be greater than our fears. And I think about Gideon and I think about David. We can see how their fears, in fact, limited them. Simple fears caused them to do irrational and sinful things, but also it placed in their character things that they had to overcome. I would even argue that their fear has allowed them to avoid doing the will of God in their life. You see, what's true about fears is that fears can limit you of your full potential. And fears can draw us to be more prone to Satan's attack rather than God's use. What I mean by this is that we, as we live in fear, we're not being strong in the Lord. You know, we're not being strong in the Lord, and fear can cause us to be crippled in our faith, to actually do no action. Fear can hold us back, for instance. Fear can hold us back from actually sharing the gospel with somebody who desperately needs to know the good word of God. Fear can hold us back from going to a third world country or even to a neighborhood that is in need of a mission. Fear can hold us back from doing that kind of stuff. Fear can hold us back from even giving to the Lord. This includes our time. This includes our treasure. This includes our talents. The fear can hold us back from giving to the Lord. Fear can also rip us left. It can rip us right. It causes us to take unexpected turns in our life. But small fears can also develop into bigger fears, which forces us to stay in a comfort zone. Fear has many effects on the person, and we have seen this through the entire first ride. But what's crazy, as we begin to transition into the second ride of fear, is that there's countless verses mixed with fear, anxiety, and worry. And we're told many times to not fear, but we're also encouraged with something so profound and so wonderful that just makes me want to just say yippee, you know? Like, it just makes you get so excited to praise the Lord. But here's what the Bible tells us. And I'm going to go through a list of verses here. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. But did you hear that? Did you hear that? Fear not, for I am what? I am with you. Matthew 6:25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? And then Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Isaiah 41:13, for I am your God who takes your hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Now that's encouraging, to know that the Lord is holding our hand as we're going through life. It's a beautiful scene. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The truth of what we just read, church, is that we should not be afraid because the Lord is with you. God is with you. There's countless more passages just like this to show us that the Lord is with you. The Lord cares for you. The Lord has compassion for you. And we take this last turn to our roller coaster ride. I want to present this to you as the second ride is the healthiest form of fear. The second roller coaster of fear is the healthiest form of fear. And if you want my honesty, this is why I felt this was a roller coaster of emotions. The Bible tells us countlessly to not fear, as we read moments ago. The Bible also tells us to fear the Lord. Why in the world would there be verses that tell us not to fear, and then there's verses that tell us to fear? But what are they saying to fear? You see, well, on one hand, it's saying to not fear things that have no power, but then it's saying to fear things that has all power. And the most beautiful scene of all of this is that the Lord who we are to fear, we're to fear him, and he's going to be with us. So we're told not to fear, but then we're told to fear the one who's going to be with us. What does this paint? This paints a beautiful picture that you who are powerless, and we know this is true from Romans chapter 5, you who are powerless have the Lord being with you. And when the Lord is with you, he will be with you, and he'll help you overcome any obstacle that you may come across. Here's some profound verses I want to explore with you about fearing the Lord. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm. Psalms 110, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praises endures forever. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. And then one of the very first Proverbs that we're introduced with is Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So yes, on one hand, we have the instruction from the Lord to not fear. And on the other hand, we have the instruction to only fear the Lord. How is this possible? How is this possible? Church, I don't know how it's possible, but I know it's comforting. I know it's comforting to know that the Lord that we fear is going to be with us wherever we go. And guess what, church? The Lord will never leave you. The Lord will never forsake you. So in a number of biblical characters, we also see that the biblical characters are being commissioned out to go. And when they're going, as we read in Gideon, that the Lord is going to be with them. That's a beautiful picture. I think of Mary when she had been pledged to marry to Joseph. And so what happened was before she was blessed with the conception of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, what happened was in Luke chapter 1, verse 28, the angel of the Lord said, greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And so we see this theme of when biblical characters are told to do something or they're being commissioned to do something, this theme is that the Lord is with them. I don't know about you, church, but if the Lord is telling me that he's with me, whom shall I fear? You know, like Even in Exodus, when Moses had killed an Egyptian, we see the similar encouragement. When Moses is exposed to God by a burning bush, what happens is he's comforted after he's being told to go to the Pharaoh and deliver the Israelites from the hand of the Egyptians. Exodus chapter 3, verse 12 says, "And God said to Moses, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." And then Moses summoning Joshua. This is another sign where we see, and Moses is summoning Joshua, and we see a very clear picture that Joshua is being summoned to by Moses, encouraged that the Lord is going to be with him. So what we gather from all this is that we are not to fear the things that are powerless in comparison to God, but we are to fear God. And get this, whatever you do fear, God is going to be with you to overcome those obstacles. I don't know, church, what you're fearing today. I don't know what you are personally battling with today. And I know that there's a worldwide pandemic going on, and perhaps you're fearing that you're going to get this virus. Perhaps you're fearing of the unknown. Perhaps you're fearing for your financial situations. Perhaps you're fearing for your loved ones. Perhaps you're fearing for what could happen. Perhaps you're even fearing death. But listen to this. Whenever fear comes knocking on your door, make sure you send faith to go answer the door. Whenever fear comes knocking on your door, make sure you send God to go answer that door, for God is with you. He is not against you. He is for you, and he wants to have conquering victory in your life over your fears. 1 John 4:8 says that there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And we can be so encouraged by knowing that God has compassion for us by his immeasurable love, by looking at the works of the cross. God's love will quiet our fears. Our fears will not stand a chance against our loving God. And to fear God, it means to revere him. To fear God, it means to stand in awe of him. To fear God, it means to worship him. To fear God, it means to respect him. To fear God means to be in a right relationship knowing him. Fearing God is committing to a relationship with somebody who is all-powerful when you are all-powerless. We fear the Lord because we know that he is with us. And I want to close with the encouraging words of Christ in Matthew 28, verse 20. And Jesus says to his disciples, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the ages." Church, do not fear the things of this world, but fear God. For he is with you, and he'll give you the power to conquer any powerless fear. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning, Lord, in fear of you, in reverence of you, in worship of you. God, we fear you. Lord, I pray for anyone who's listening who does not fear you. Jesus, I pray that your Holy Spirit would open their hearts, that they would see this, that the fears of this world controls them. Fears of this world leads them astray. Fears of this world cause them to do irrational things, sinful things, prolongs decisions, and also removes them and prevents them from doing your will for their life. God, I pray that you'll give our people a healthy fear, the healthiest form of fear, and that's to fear you, Jesus. To fear you, God. So Lord, as we are powerless, we're asking you who are all powerful to remind us to fear you, but also remind us, Lord, that whatever we may be facing, that you will be with us. How can we have any fear when we know that you are with us? Remind us, Lord, of that truth, that we know that you are with us. Father, we love you. We worship you this morning. And it's your holy and precious name that we pray, Jesus. And we all said, amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Be blessed. Go now in his grace, living in his perfect love, knowing that he is able and he is an enabler to enable you to live above your fears. Well, God bless you all, and I look forward to seeing you all soon. But if not until next week, we'll meet here again virtually. God bless you all and take care.